This is the House of Hockey podcast,
where we talk about the game and the lifestyle.
We've got opinions as hockey fans, friends, and from the female perspective.
Welcome to our house.
Welcome to the House of Hockey podcast. This is episode 177. I'm one of your hosts, Ray Ray. My regular co-host, Breezy, she's still on the podcast long-term injured reserve list. She's doing well. She's still recovering. And our guest co-host is Andy Zilch this week. Welcome back.
Thanks to have me. And, you know, my second time co-hosting, third time on the show here. I'm really excited. And let's get underway. We got a lot to talk about. I'm really excited for this episode.
Andy's a freelance play-by-play hockey broadcaster who recently covered the ACHA National Championships in St. Louis, Missouri. He works with the Champions Hockey League calling games, and he recently spent five seasons with the AHL's San Diego Gulls as their play-by-play broadcaster, along with many other roles with the team. Andy was sending me texts like, put this on the list. I have a strong opinion about this. I want to talk about this. And I was like, okay, yeah, whatever you want. Yeah, let's do it. I'm down. So he's he's ready for us. You just got back from broadcasting the ACHA tournament, Champions Tournament?
Correct. Yeah, National Championships for men's D1, D2, D3. Women's D1, D2. Unfortunately, I didn't see women's D1. I did have the luck to broadcast some women's D2 games and a lot of fun. So I don't know if you want to ask questions or if you just want me to hit you with a barrage of information.
All I know is you were doing like back-to-back-to-back-to-back games and had like hundreds of interviews with coaches of all the teams, and you just crushed it with your broadcasting. But I mean, what... I don't know if, you know, people who don't follow though, you know, the collegiate system would know a whole lot of what it is that you're seeing. So maybe like give us a little insight.
Yeah. So ACHA is club hockey. So, you know, you'll see schools like Michigan competing in the ACHA, but it's not the Michigan Wolverines that you'll see playing the Frozen Four. So, you know, for these young men and women, it's an opportunity to keep on going. And like you said, I talked with a lot of coaches, and the very first game that I had, it was Pittsburgh's D1 team. And, you know, some of these guys out of the ACHA have actually moved on. Daniel Walcott played for Lindenwood University, and he's in the Tampa Bay system in the AHL, and he's been there for several years. And then I also heard, I think it was Dustin Penner has played in the ACHA. So it's few and far between that these guys move on, but at the end of the day, they're realizing, you know, this could be it for organized hockey for them. So in speaking with the Pittsburgh coach, I talked to him, I got his lines probably an hour and a half before the game, wished him good luck. And he goes, do you want any extra tidbits on some of these guys? And I go, of course.
Yeah.
So he told me about one young man who was working on a baby heart monitor or baby valve, something along those lines in school. And he goes, he can't run a darn drill, but he's very smart outside the ice hockey rink. And he even said, he goes, this is the last game for some of these guys. And I thought that was really cool for him to realize that and then want me to talk about what these guys are doing outside of hockey. So it was a really fun experience. I wouldn't trade it again for anything else. I had such a blast, reignited some good hockey passion in me. And there was great competition. I mean, I got to see great hockey, and there weren't many two blowouts either. You know, you get teams that are coming. It was 82 total teams that came into the St. Louis area. Now, granted, probably I think five were local, five or six, but it was so much fun. Like, I had such a blast enjoying it.
Yeah. Who won the tournament?
So out of men's D1 was, oh, shoot. I think it was Minot State, and then D2 is Indiana. I do know that. D3, I know Grand Valley lost because I had them, so I didn't get to call any championship games. Actually, I did a lot of pool play. I do know women's D2. It was Sioux College, who was an absolute force. Okay,
really?
For women's Division II hockey, I thought they could have easily been a D1 team. I didn't get to do play-by-play for their games, but I did watch their games. And in talking with the coaches that I did do games for, one team specifically, Adrian College, said, "Yeah, our game against Sioux during the regular season, we lost, but we considered it a win because it was so close." That's how good they were. And they controlled the pace of the play so great. Like, that was actually one of the most fun experiences I had with the women's games that I did, was watching Sioux College play.
Yeah, the women's game has really come a long way, and we've got some PWHL stuff to talk about today too, of course. But and how was it being back home in your hometown? Home in St. Louis. Do you hear that come out? Like the Chicago just came right out.
Hometown, eh? You even got a little northern too. No, it was fun. I actually, I've been to two rinks that I'm very unfamiliar with. So the St. Louis hockey area is exploding. I think the past 6, 7 years, you know, the rise of the Kachucks, Chris Weidman, who I've seen play and actually play right in front of me that I've been able to broadcast. And then, you know, there's a handful of other guys, and then of course the St. Louis Blues had a big hand in this too. But I never saw the Maryville ice hockey rink, which this again, there was 82 teams. There were so many teams in competition.
That's so many teams.
I know the
It's like,
three rink ice sheet that the Blues practice at was the main host of it. It's called the Centene Community Ice Center. There were so many teams there, they couldn't contain it to just three ice rinks. They actually had a spillover for 4 days over at the Maryville Ice Rink, which is located in Chesterfield, Missouri, probably about 30 minutes away from the Centene Ice Arena. So I got to see the Maryville Ice Arena for the first time. I got to take in the Centene Community Ice Center for more than just 30 minutes, which is how long I saw it last time. Hockey's alive and well in St. Louis. And I mean, this sunk a lot of dollars into hotels, restaurants, the two ice rinks. Like, I think St. Louis put on a great show, and they're going to have it again for a darn good reason. And not only is it young hockey players that are coming up to the NHL, but a lot of good officials too. I think that goes such under the radar. And I know a lot of them that were officiating during this tournament. So a tip of the cap to them too, because, you know, officials get really thrown under the bus a lot.
They
And
do.
I know, right? But I think they all did really well. And I think that's another reason why St. Louis was picked too, is because there's good officials that are coming out of St. Louis.
That's it. That is an important part of the game, whether the fans, want to hear that or not.
Right.
It is an important part of our game. What was your best call from the ACHA tournament?
Well, I actually had the opportunity to call my alma mater, so Lindenwood Hockey. I did a game against them against Liberty, which a lot of people surrounding that game told me, whoever wins this game is going to win the D2 national championship. Well, actually, Lindenwood got defeated by Indiana. You know, that's why you play the game. But it was Liberty University versus Lindenwood University, and I think there was a game tying goal for Lindenwood that got them back in the hump. So that was a really good one for me. And then there was a lot of surprise plays that I was shocked about throughout the course of the tournament. You know, that's the game of hockey. You never know what's going to come, and I think I handled that adversity pretty well.
Yeah, you always do. You handle all that really well. That's why you're a professional play-by-play broadcaster. That sounds incredible. I'm glad you had a really good time and got reignited with your love of hockey. And it's easy to get burnt out for sure. It's long seasons. There's lots of games and there's a lot. It's a hard road to be a professional in sports in general. So I'm glad you got a little bit of a shot in the arm.
Thank you.
Anything else you wanted to share from your experience there?
It was a cold rink. I'll tell you that much. It was probably 42 degrees. Like, I walked in with a heater after day two, and people were looking at me, and I wanted to be like, "You go sit in there for 12 hours and tell me how you feel."
Hey, broadcasters carrying heaters around with them is not an uncommon thing. I know Carlyn Baith does. She used to, at least. She used to carry a little heater, portable heater with her around because it's pretty cold. And when you're not playing and your adrenaline isn't pumping from the beers you're drinking in the stands, it can get a little chilly. It can
That's
get a
right.
little cold in there, I mean, your adrenaline's going, but on a different level,
That's right. And I did, you know what? Speaking of that, I did feed off the adrenaline too. Like, the fan support was excellent. You know, that there was so many family members, relatives, friends, and even just school attendees that were coming to take in these games. I thought it was a lot of fun.
You didn't happen to see Jaromir Jagr's bobbleheads there, did you?
No comment. No. No. That's such a funny topic. It's really not, but it kind of is. I've never heard of anything like this happening ever.
All of his bobbleheads from the Pittsburgh Penguins got stolen, like off of just were stolen to be, they were going to be handing out, what, 15,000 or something crazy amount
Yeah.
of Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads in Pittsburgh a couple of days ago, and they went missing. And I wanted to make the inappropriate joke about how the rumors are that Jagr has a had a gambling problem, that like maybe he possibly needed them more than the fans did. But I was like, maybe that's not appropriate because it's just a rumor and we don't want to, say bad things about a legendary player who's still playing, but
Well, it
it
got,
crossed
did
my
you
mind.
see that it got nabbed in California?
It did?
Yes. That was a story that I read. It said it got stolen in California.
Like, what are you, who's, what are you going to do with all those bobbleheads? And like, if you try to sell them, you're going to get caught.
It's got to be
Why
word.
would you keep them?
It's got to be word of mouth. You have to do it through word of mouth, I think. Be like, yeah, I got the Jagr bobbleheads. Don't tell anybody. $20 cash or whatever, you know.
We know how that works. The drug dealers always get caught, okay? The guy who's hawking the bobbleheads is going to get busted. He's going to trust one wrong person on the Twitter, on the X, and he's going to get caught and just reamed out by every Pittsburgh,
Oh
Penguins
yeah. There's definitely a black market for it.
fan. There is not.
Yeah, there is.
What are you paying for a Jagr bobblehead?
I mean, for something that right now is unattainable, I guarantee you a diehard Pittsburgh Penguins fan would spend at least $50 on it.
Oh, that's it? That's
That's what I'm
like,
saying, at least. What would you
eh.
spend?
I wouldn't, because I'm not.
If there was a Connor Bedard bobblehead that was stolen and you're like, gotta have it, how much would you spend?
God, I'm the wrong person to ask because there isn't anything I gotta have, Andy, in like that sense.
No.
But okay, maybe $50. Yeah, no more than that. And that's no disrespect to Bedard. It's just like not my, that's not my thing,
Okay. You're
Like,
not a bobblehead fan, huh? There's a lot of
no.
people that are bobblehead junkies.
Yeah, but like I'm supposed to get it for free when I go to the game. Why am I going to now pay for it on the black market? Like, no, P the Penguins can figure it out and order a new shipment. They call it a loss. You claim the deduction and you order a new round and you use a different manufacturer. Like, I don't know, hire security, figure it out. Like, it's not that hard. I want my free bobblehead. I don't want to pay for it on the black market.
I remember when Blues would do giveaways back when I was a kid, and even like today, like even Cardinals, for example, in St. Louis, they would have certain giveaways that would be like 16 and under, 12 and under, and then vice versa. Like you'd have things that would be 18 and older, because they'd be like sponsored by Bud Light, and it'd be, whatever the case may be. People would try to sell those in the concourse right off the hop. I'd see it all the time. They'd be like it'd be like a kid's t-shirt, and they'd be
Right.
like, kid's t-shirt, $10, who wants one? And I'm like, really, you're really turning around and selling this right away.
God, I don't remember ever experiencing that in Chicago. That must just be
Yeah.
a St. Louis thing.
Oh boy, here we go.
Must just be a St. Louis thing. I mean, w when I went to White Sox games as a kid, the big draw for me was the ice cream in the helmet cup. And
Yeah.
wanting to collect those. Like, that was what I wanted. Why? I don't know. That's so stupid. What am I going to use that thing for? I never used it ever again. And they only ever had like one White Sox one. They always had like all the other teams,
Yep. I used to do those too. And then a final thought on the whole St. Louis fans trading thing. It's probably because people want St. Louis memorabilia. Nobody really
Oh.
wants Chicago Blackhawk memorabilia right now.
People want Chicago Blackhawks memorabilia. All right. You just stay in your lane and you stay where you are. Okay. You just stay right there. Is Jake Guentzel earning his keep in Carolina? He that was the because we'll stay with the Pittsburgh talk since he was, the big I thought, the big name of the trade deadline and one of the more impactful changes for Pittsburgh, of course, by deciding to move him. He scored the shootout winner on Saturday. Definitely felt like he finally found his footing. What do you think?
I say you got to give it some more time. What are we? I'm looking at a calendar right now. Are we a week and a half past the deadline?
Just about.
Too quick. I mean, you know, I understand fans wanted an immediate impact on a player like that, but let's have that conversation come into April. You know, yeah. if they're still going and they're in the postseason and he's chugging along with a point per game, then yes. But I think we're way too soon to hit panic buttons for any trade deadline deals right now.
Well, we've seen Evgeny Kuznetsov, I always struggle with his name, put in some, he's found his rhythm there, I think, and I think it's been a good refresh for him in Carolina. I think the moves they made were good, but like you said, let's see how it all drives out in the long run. You said right. You had some pretty strong opinions about the trade deadline, and I don't know what they are. So what are your thoughts, Andy Zilch, on the trade deadline this season?
Well, I think, and not only this year, but I think last year too, I think GMs to act fast and not wait till that deadline day have won. You look at last year, and as a St. Louisan and still working in the Anaheim organization, I thought the Ducks lost last year severely. Because all the first round picks got taken off teams because Doug Armstrong, the St. Louis Blues general manager, acted first. I think your serious winners are going to make those trades 5-6 days leading up to the deadline because teams aren't going to want to wait and hold off. If something's available, you strike while the iron's hot. My other knee-jerk reaction is everybody is just foaming at the mouth for first round draft picks, and I don't understand it. And I want to relay a little homework that I did leading up until this because
stats? Are you bringing stats to this podcast, Andy?
Bringing it hard for you. But hang on, before I touch on this, I want you to bring up what ignited my topic of discussion for this because we both spoke about this and you said, oh, well, you showed me a little video clip. So I want you to run with that first.
The argument was from Witt from Chicklets who said that if you're in a position in the standings to win the Stanley Cup and or go far in the playoffs, you don't worry about first round picks. You get the best player you can, right? And you get whoever you can and you forget about that because you're just paying for potential. And those don't hold any weight when your team is actually really good and doing really well. You want to keep up with that. You don't start, you know, trading random players for first round picks when you have the potential to win is I right. think the summary.
But I think people are so over anxious with first round or high end picks. So my homework that I did here, because I witnessed it all firsthand, let's look at the Anaheim Ducks and let's date back to 2014. We can't go inside. I'm gonna stop on single digit picks. So picks 1 through 9, those guys should be able to make some sort of an impact. But let's take, you know, a high first round pick or a low second round pick and let's debate. So for the Anaheim Ducks beginning in 2014, Nick Ritchie, selected 10th overall, no good. 2015, Jacob Larson, Julius Natanen was also selected in the second round, 59th overall, no good for each of those two guys. Mm-hmm. You fast forward to 2016, Max Jones, Sam Steele, 24th and 30th respectively. Those guys were supposed to be high-impact players. They were supposed to be point per game or somewhat developing into a high-impact offensive role. No good so far. 2017, number 50 and number 60 was their top two picks. Both in the second round, Max Comtois, Anton Morin, neither guy's been able to get out of the AHL. No. 2018, number one overall pick, 23, Isaac Lundestrom. He's been a checking line center, 64 points and 244 games played in the NHL. For a guy who you're drafting first round, 23rd overall, I personally would like to see a little bit better of point production.
Yeah.
Okay, so 2019.
But that one's better than all the others you just mentioned, but go on.
Yeah, he's been the best so far. 2019, Trevor Zegras, he's in that 1-9 range, so we'll exclude him. 29, Braden Tracy, has not been in the NHL for more than one game. Move up to 2020, Jamie Drysdale, exclude him. He's in the 1-9 time frame. Jacob Perreault was just dealt. He was selected 27th overall. He played one NHL game. And I think if we drive up to 2021, you're starting to get a little too fresh. Zellweger's in his first year. Mason McTavish, he's in the 1-10 time frame. So how many names did I just rattle off? What are we, 10 plus?
Right.
So
and there's
I would
none.
Sell first rounders left and right.
Yeah.
Unless you're in a top 10 pick, do something. Like you've got to have some strong scouting and some really good prospects that are getting molded through your AHL system in order to have an impact. Otherwise, get rid of them, in my opinion.
So, like, get rid of a Jamie Drysdale?
No, because he was in my 1-10.
Okay.
I like that trade for Philly, personally. But, I mean, if I'm not Chicago, San Jose, Columbus, Ottawa, and then a few others that are down there, like Montreal, but everybody else, like, trade your first rounder. I don't care what you're getting. Like, if you're looking to get over the hump, mm-hmm. Teams, I don't know why they're so thirsty for first rounders.
I don't either. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, especially because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if they're going to end up being Trevor Zegras, but he's still out with injury, right?
Yeah.
And we talked about this too, I think off air, about how, or was maybe not, and just my own talking to myself, which is not abnormal, about how the so many of these young players in the last at least like three seasons are going out with injury. I mean, Bedard went out, Zegras went out, Fantilli went out. I mean, there's a mismatch here too with these young players. So I would be even less inclined to care about first round pick off the hop, because unless it is a Connor Bedard, it's kind of like, well, let's just see how he does. And then either way, he's a great money piece in 3 years after his entry-level contract. And then you can sell him and get something good in return, or match up where you're at. I don't know. I don't follow the whole like draft and recruiting elements. And like, I don't scope players coming up in juniors and stuff like that. So I don't know how totally that works, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, for a team right now who's doing it right, and a team that basically stood pat at the deadline was Columbus. So you look at your core, which is your core of young guys, Fantilli, selected third overall, Juracek, who's in the AHL, six overall the year before, Kent Johnson, Cole Sillinger in the 2011 draft, Chinakov. Those are all guys since 2020 that they've been able to hold on to, and they're trying to build a core around. Now, you could argue the same thing too for Anaheim. They're trying to get that core together, but then they just sold a piece of Drysdale. Zegras is rumored to be dealt. And then Drysdale, and then he gets hurt, you know, which is dumb luck. Like, I feel so bad for him, because it looked like he was really starting to mesh in Philly. But, you know, we'll see how some of these trades work out with, you know, these first rounders. It's such a long timetable, though. Like, that's why some of these competitive teams want to get rid of them. And maybe that's why some of these younger teams think they can build a core around some of these guys they're drafting. But personally, if you're picking somebody again that's 30th overall, I don't know how much of an impact that's going to make on your club.
I don't either. I don't think it makes that much of an impact at all. But I guess if that's all you have to work with, I guess you work with it. But that's certainly not going to make for a very good team in the long run. And that would probably be very frustrating as a fan of that team, watching that play out that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody rebuilds differently and builds their teams differently. And we're seeing what works. And yeah, you can try to build around your core. Sometimes it doesn't work, and then you got to sell for parts again. And then what, you know, you hope that 30th pick that you have down in your AHL team has finally figured it out and you can bring them up. I mean, I'm glad that's not my job. I'm really glad that's not my job.
And it's fun to watch, like, you know, because the cap too makes a massive impact. Like, I hate to go back to the well, but you look at the Blues, they can't really do a whole lot because of so much money invested in their defensemen. I think they have four defensemen, $4+ million. That's a lot. So it's interesting.
It can put you in a bind too if you're not careful. So, another team that might be in a bind, and who did I think, and you tell me if you agree, built around their core over the last couple of years is the Detroit Red Wings. They were doing really well, and now there's a rumor, of course, from the interwebs that they're cursed because they added a sponsorship patch to their jerseys and lost six straight. And they had won six straight before. And the irony of it all is that the sponsor is Priority Waste Management. Like, how? Like, just, I mean, I know money is money and it's business, but like, I am not putting Priority Waste on my jersey. Like, I'm like, how could you do that to the players, first of all? Whether or not there's a curse, you know, who knows? But like, could you imagine having that logo on your jersey?
You know, I actually, what does the logo look like? Isn't it just their letters?
I thought it
Like,
says
isn't it?
Priority Waste, like it says it.
I don't know. Money's money, you know, I feel sometimes. And they were one of the few that didn't have a sponsor on their jersey. I don't believe
Interesting.
in the whole, oh, you got it now, you're on a 6-game losing streak thing.
You don't believe in any of that?
No, not at all.
Oh, I do. I'm like,
I'm
take the
not.
patch off, cut it off, burn it. Forget the money.
I'm not superstitious like that.
Oh, I'm pretty superstitious like that. And I would be up in arms if I was a player and superstitious, like, I can't believe this organization did this. Plus, like, they're an original six team. They deserve a little bit more than a Priority Waste sponsor logo. Okay?
You know, I
Like,
never really thought of the. I always thought of it as a business move, and I really didn't even think of the business. Like, you made a good point there. I didn't never really thought of having a waste company on your team. It's almost like Bad News Bears when he had to get his
yes.
jersey sponsored and he went to the Gentlemen's Club to get a sponsorship.
Yes. Like, could you imagine that in real life if they had like OnlyFans was a sponsor of you know, like,
Bite your tongue. We're turning around, you know.
listen,
2024 has come roaring in.
Gary Bettman would not allow that. That would not be approved, I don't think. We are not going that direction with this league. And I think waste management applies. Although, of course, it is a very important industry, and that is not to knock that industry, but
No.
I don't
Just
think it.
wait till the new Atlanta Thrashers come in. We'll see if they can grab the OnlyFans sponsorship.
Oh, aren't there some really great strip clubs down there? I'm sure they'd be happy to throw some money against
It
them.
would mesh with their color scheme if they kept the blue.
Yeah. Something to look forward to. Some inappropriate sponsor logos. So, somebody who's not inappropriate and actually did, I think, such an appropriate, classy move from the Red Wings is Patrick Kane, which is still weird to say that he's on the Red Wings, but he took Daniel Sprong, who used to wear 88 because Kane wears 88. Sprong let him have the number when he came to Detroit. So when they were out in LA, Patty Kane took him on a shopping spree on Rodeo Drive. And if you don't know what Rodeo Drive is, it is in Beverly Hills with all of the high-end Gucci, Prada, Louis Vuitton stores. And he let him just go shopping. What would you buy if that was you?
Ooh, that's your question. I was
What are
not
you
prepared for
buying?
that.
Oh, well, what
What
do
am
you
I?
think of the move? I mean, I think this is super classy, right? Like, you can't, like, it's better than just like giving him money or, you know, like you're doing an experience or like, yeah, you could buy him a car. Yeah, you could buy him a Rolly, but like, this is new and different.
I bet Daniel Sprong was all over him, asking him what he's gonna give him for
You
giving up
think?
eight.
Is that his personality? I don't know much about
I
him.
would bet that, especially for a guy, I just had to look it up. I think he makes 2 mil a year. So he was probably all over Patrick Kane about that.
Like, got the full luggage set from Louis Vuitton, like the carrier bag, the backpack, the luggage set, throw in a little bag for like the wife or the girlfriend, get the dog the collar, get the matching kids outfits. Like, he just like did the whole thing. He did all of it for like his lifetime.
I don't even know what I would get, to be honest with you. I was unprepared for that question. I like that you changed it up, but my gosh, like, I don't know. Like, because I don't like that stuff. Like, I'd rather just be like, just give me like a buttload of cash and we'll call it a day.
Like crypto, like maybe sell me your shares of crypto, like that.
No. I don't want to see a loss. Come on.
I mean, it's a lot. Okay. Well, that and like, not just that.
Okay.
I mean, if I had an unlimited shopping spree in Beverly Hills, like I would buy all the classic pieces. Like I would just go and buy like classic everything, like dresses, shoes, all the bags, like Gucci. Like I would get like one from each store. I would have like my clutch and I would have my daytime bag and then my travel bag. And like I would have, and then I would have them all monograms. Like Louis Vuitton would do monogramming. I would have that done. What else? I mean, I think you can buy a car on Rodeo Drive. So like maybe I would have also had a car purchase, like an old school. I would love an old muscle car. I love a muscle car. So that, or like if I was a hockey player, yeah, I would want like an old muscle car. That's what I would do. And make Patty Kane pay for the shipping back to Detroit.
How much time have you put into thinking about this?
None, but that's
just off the top
of the head. Come on. Are you kidding? That's easy. Ask any woman what she would buy and she would list off like a whole bunch of things she would want, like dream designer bag things that you just admire and are like, God, I wish I could justify spending $5,000 on a purse. You know, like I can't like in real life justify that. But if it was a gift like that, I would cash in on it big time. Like I would push the limits and be like, I'm not going to stop charging your card until you tell me to stop. Okay.
So you got my wheel spinning. So my requirements would be cash. And then I would also want some sort of shares with Priority Waste Management.
Hey, then you'd really be making
before the unveiling though, before the unveiling, like, cause you know, the stock's going up.
Yeah, you do. That's good business. I'm like, just for fun. I'll take all the good stuff.
Yeah.
You know who's finally got some good stuff happening? Mike Modano. He has a statue. What?
I love it.
Yeah, he got his statue unveiled outside of American Airlines Center with the Dallas Stars. And the reason this is on the topic list is not because I care a whole lot about him. I mean, it's great to honor these legends and I love to see that, of course, but the last couple statues we've had unveiled have not been great and they're a little scary looking. And this one, it actually, like, they found the right sculptor and statue person, and it actually looks like a human and it's not scary. And it's like, thank God we finally got the right person here building statues for these legendary players.
It's funny when you sent me that, I was, before I even knew that this was a talking point, I was watching the statue unveiling. I was kind of biting my lip. I was like, oh my gosh, don't be hideous.
Right.
And I was also wondering what pose they were going to give him in, which I liked all of it. But to just go back to the beginning of it, I'm a huge fan of Mike Modano.
Oh.
I've heard nothing but fantastic things about him. He was a player who I really liked growing up too. He was just so good. Started with the Minnesota North Stars, you know, obviously carried down to Dallas and then played a hot second for Detroit. I don't think there was anybody else in there for his career, but I really liked him. And a big reason why I sported number 9 as well too.
Okay. Yeah. I was just really relieved that like somebody finally got good statue. Who was it in LA who got a statue? Was
I can't remember.
He was on the cup with them. It's escaping me at the moment. But I'm pretty sure that was the one. And then there was one more before that, and it was just like, what is it? The face is melting. I don't know what is happening. Tell me what is happening with you and the NHL Network.
So I sent you this message.
Right around the deadline. Message.
Yeah, I was like, remind me to talk about NHL Network and why I unfollowed them on Instagram. So around the deadline, I'd open up Instagram and I would see like Gensel and an arrow to a team. And I was like, oh, he got traded. Wait, proposed trade. What do you think of it? Comment below. Every day. And I'm like, guys, you're supposed to be a source of news. I understand we want to interact, but like you get me going and then you let me down.
Like,
so I unfollowed.
Good. They're clickbaiting you. I don't think that's right. That stuff pisses me off too. Like the misleading posts on Instagram, especially at trade deadline. Like you have to disclose that somewhere. Like, where are the rules that you're like not putting that in bigger font on the post that says proposed, not actually happening? There was some other BS thing I saw, not from them, but from some random, I don't know, podcast or group or whatever. And they were like, they play this whole clip and they're like, name the one NHL team whose logo only uses one color.
Ooh, hang on, wait. What's your beef about this? Because I want to get it.
Because they didn't tell me the fucking answer. They didn't tell me the answer, Andy. They didn't put it in the description. They didn't reveal it. They just put this stupid clickbait. And then everybody in the chat was like, it's the Lightning. And then people were like, but white isn't a color. They said color. And I'm like, oh my God, I want to kill all these people. And now I still don't know what the answer is. Because like either somebody made it up or made
it. Well, it's got to be Lightning. It has to be.
But it's white. What about the Leafs?
The bolt is their logo. The white's just a background.
And the bolt is a color?
Yeah.
The bolt is?
Yeah, the bolt in the circle is blue, and that's it. That's their logo. There's no background color because their blue jerseys are vice versa.
You're right.
Which I would have never got that.
It is like
a very good trivia question.
Oh, fucking trivia. I can't. What I was like, what is this? Like, you're gonna make me play this game that I don't know the answers to.
The Leafs do have two colors because the veins in the Leafs are white.
You're right. I was like, what on earth is happening here? And you're not even going to tell us the answer, and you're going to just let the people in the chat go berserk. I was like, this is, I almost commented because I was so pissed off. So anyway, sorry. I understand your frustration about NHL Network and people posting things that are clickbaity and not the facts.
Well, I'll tell you, so that trivia question that gives me, I'm going to pump another Instagram handle here, if you're okay with it.
Of course.
So there is an Instagram handle called Dog Mondays. Okay. And all it is trivia questions. And it's just a bunch of guys. They only do one person like a day. And I think they include some guys' fathers. And it's just literally like, give me a city that only has one of the major four sports. And another question the next day is, give me all the yellow teams in the four major sports. Like, really fun questions. I love following them for that.
I'm glad you find entertainment in that, Andy. It frustrates the hell out of me because my memory is not like that. And I do not have the room to commit to memory things like that. There was another trivia I saw. Was what I think it's four teams in the NHL's logo has a puck in it. I was like, oh, hell, I would never guess this. But the funny part, that was actually funny because, well, one, they gave you the goddamn answers. And two, the people they were interviewing were Capitals fans and the Capitals have a puck.
Oh, in the logo. You did send that to me.
And they were like, I don't know. The guy's like, look at your shirt. It's got the logo.
And honestly, like, how do you not know that if you're a Capitals fan? Like, are you that stupid? And you're wearing it.
Yeah. But like, you know, you get nervous, you're being interviewed, you're put on the spot, you know, you're like,
don't give them a bailout.
All right. Well, you know, I didn't know the Minnesota Wild was a bear. I thought it was a mountain.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's both. So I wasn't
That is one of those. It's kind of hidden though.
It is.
Yeah, so I'll give you that.
Is it a
At
bear?
first, when I first saw it, I
A
was like,
bear.
what is this blob of colors?
I'll never forget that day with Freezy when I was like, it's like a mountain. She's like, no, it's a bear. I'm like, no, it isn't. Like, oh, it's both. Okay. Something else fun happening. It was just announced before we hopped on, so I don't
Oh.
have a whole lot of details, but the NHL has announced that they are going to be doing a behind the scenes video series next season, I'm assuming, following 10 to 12 players during the season, like behind the scenes kind of stuff. I am
Interesting.
all here for this, except if I have to watch Austin Matthews behind the scenes as one of those 12 players, I'm gonna roll my eyes big time like you just did. However, I want to see a mixture. I want to see the guys who are dads. I want to see the young stars. I want to see the veterans. I want to see the second liners that I never heard of before on some team that I don't follow. Like, I want it to be a mix so we get like a really good feel of what it's like to be in the NHL. But I'm super pumped for this, and I just really hope that they let them be themselves. I just don't know how much personality they're going to let down their guard because this is so against anything an NHL player's ever been taught or any hockey player's ever been taught. But I was excited about that.
I
Finally.
like it, yeah. You're probably going to see Matthews. You're probably going to see Bieber.
Like
Top bound.
we already know. We know. We see them together. We know. We don't need to know more.
Not enough.
That's enough.
The NFL has already captured Taylor Swift. The NHL needs to harness into Justin Bieber.
Look, it was fun. He was the perfect. It was perfect what he did at the All-Star game because his genuine excitement really came through. He took pictures with every, like, he was really, really, really happy to be there, which is his saving grace in my book. So that's all I need. I don't need any more Justin Bieber. Thank you.
He was happier to be there than Kucherov was.
Oh, don't start. I
Oh,
was so
I
mad
did it
at
last
him.
episode. I'm trying to poke the bear.
Get that guy out of here. Don't put him in there anymore. He's done.
I'd also to finish up the conversation, I'd like to
Yes.
see a tweener. A guy who just barely edged out somebody, is making the NHL roster, will probably go down to the AHL for, a little bit. I'd like to see that. That would be really interesting too to see.
Yeah. I hope it kind of follows along the lines of what's the NFL show they do on HBO?
Oh, where they, I know, like with Mahomes and all that stuff,
They're like the
where they follow them.
hard knocks.
Oh, you're talking about the team aspect
The
of it.
team. Yeah. I know
I
they're not
thought.
following the team, but I mean, the teams kind of do their own version of hard knocks, like
Well,
that they have
they do ones
control
now
over.
that focus on players, like Mahomes did one. It was just
Oh.
all about Mahomes.
Yeah, I wouldn't be watching that. So that's not.
Not a fan, huh?
Listen, I mean I like football, but not I don't watch it anymore. I mean, not like on a regular basis. But that brings me to our other topic. March, in your opinion, is the best sports month. I disagree, but
Oh,
you
yeah.
tell me what you
Oh.
think.
Okay.
Why?
I think it's the best. You have the NHL trade deadline, playoff race heating up, NCAA hockey is coming to its postseason, so you got your conference championships, you got teams rolling through the playoffs and hunt for the Frozen Four. That does begin in April. You have the MLB spring training, MLB regular season starting up. You have we'll give some love to the ACHA playoffs.
NBA.
I'm not an NBA fan, but we can throw it in there. And then I think that's it. Masters is in April.
There's
I feel
tennis
like
things
I'm missing.
happening.
I feel like I'm missing something. But then you also have the weather getting better, because
Okay.
it's it, and it's St. Patrick's Day. Like, we just celebrated St. Patrick's Day, which is a fantastic holiday that you don't have to buy gifts for.
That's
You just
true.
go enjoy some green beer and have a good day. And everybody's friendly.
They are. They're friendly, and you wear green so you don't get pinched, and everything's
Yep.
fine.
March, wonderful month. What is your month?
October, duh. Hockey starting, Football's going. I prefer football over basketball. Basketball's going. It's MLB playoffs, which is the best time to watch baseball. Who wants to watch spring training in March? Oh my God. It's like the longest season of all the sports. And now you're going to make me watch even more baseball? No, I just want to watch the end. I want to watch the World Series and the playoffs. What else is happening? No, it's like all the teams are playing in October. You get all of them.
You still get all of them in March.
I guess so. No, you don't have football.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
That's fine. But I prefer fall weather than I do summer weather. Like the grass is getting green outside. I'm like, God damn, grass is getting green.
It's really?
It's going to be hot. I'm going to have to mow that lawn. We're going to have to put the air conditioner in. We hardly had winter. I'm bitter about it.
See, in October, it's dark at 5.
I like that.
Oh.
I know.
Spring. Spring. It's anew. You're being reborn again.
Oh, so much work to be reborn, Andy. I don't have time for it.
I like the heat of the NHL postseason versus the MLB postseason. Once like we get to the final four, if you will, of MLB, I'm out. Like I don't really care about MLB postseason unless my team's in it, the Cardinals, which they generally are not going to be the way they do their offseason signings.
So maybe you would want to be a GM there, help them draft and do
stuff. I'll be a GM anywhere, but I highly doubt anybody would want to take a flyer out on me to run their roster of their team.
I mean, there's some teams who probably should make a change and hire you, but you know.
I'm available.
We'll leave it at that. Let's head over to the PWHL. Okay, one thing, great exciting news. Women's sports are here to stay, first of all. So get over it if you don't believe that or think that or feel that. Get on board, pick a team, start repping that team and become the fan. Because Canadian Tires has announced that they're spending half of their sponsorship dollars on women's sports by 2026, which that's only 2 years away. And that's a lot of money. And they are putting a lot of money into women's sports. There's other teams. I think Nike is doing something similar. I might be wrong on that, but there's some athletic brand that has decided to pull a lot of their advertising from men's and put it into women, professional women's sports. So that's very exciting to see. I'm happy to hear these things happening. And that's important for us hockey fans because in the PWHL, we just had their takeover weekend where the teams went to different cities to play to bring the games. So they went to Pittsburgh and they went to Detroit, sold out crowd in Detroit, breaking records in attendance for women's games in Detroit. It's all amazing, except the New York team has the nickname now of the Pizza Rats. And I don't like it. And Jamie Bourbonnais was wearing a Pizza Rat jersey. I tried to find out where this name came from. Nobody could explain to me why this is their nickname. I know there was like a video or a meme or something of a rat eating pizza at some point in our lives, right? But like, I don't think this is the nickname we want for this team. No.
They're getting ahead of the league. And fun fact, the New York Yankees single A team, I think they're called the Staten Island Pizza Rats.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
That's
or it was one, or it was one of those, you know, one-off nicknames. I know that it's in their history.
Like that was their real name?
Let me look it up. Cause I know that it was, cause you know how MILB teams, they do those one-offs where they'll just make like a nickname for a weekend.
Yes.
So I don't know if that was the case or if that is truly their nickname. So let me do a little research real quick.
This is not the energy we need in the Professional Women's Hockey League. Like, I'm all for a nickname, but that is not the vibe we want to go for. We don't need any more easy targets and easy jokes being made. Like, we're trying to build something here. We're trying to be empowering, trying to move forward.
So it was a one-off.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And the New York Yankees were not happy with it.
Okay. So I
understand. All I'm seeing is stories. Yankees embarrassed.
That is how the women should feel in the PWHL with this nickname. Yeah. No, we're not doing this. This is not in line with our branding.
Right. I mean, they, you know, the players are getting ahead of the league. You know, like I said, the league, you know, love them to death or hate them, whatever you may think of it. They rushed in with no names, and the players are trying to identify things and create something on social media, whether the league wants it or not. It's unfortunate, but you know, if they would have names, this probably could be avoided.
Yes. I'm hoping strongly that in the off season, they figure out the name thing.
They will. I read that story right off the get go, even before, the season started. They wanted to put, and I also believe these jerseys are going to be thrown away. These jerseys that they're having this year, if memory serves me right on reading stories, this is going to be the only year that they're wearing those jerseys. So if you are a fan and you get like a jersey off the back, which would be incredible, that could be a piece of history. So
for sure,
for those of you watching this that are going to those games and buying those jerseys and you're thinking, oh, you know, they're going to come out with the real jerseys next year. Well, these are going to be jerseys in like 20 years that are going to be worth like so much money or so valuable.
Yeah.
So get them, because I believe they're doing a whole new color scheme, whole new identity for each individual team next year.
Oh, interesting.
And that'll be the case moving forward. Right. So for example, let's call them the Toronto Argonauts. I don't know. I'm just pick that name, but let's call them that. Then they'll have a logo. They'll have the Argonauts name, and that'll be it for the foreseeable future.
Right. The thing, cause I went to the PWHL game last weekend. Maybe. Yeah. And not like yesterday, but like the weekend before. And the only jerseys they were selling in person were not knockoffs. I can't replica jerseys. They weren't even selling like authentic jerseys that the players are actually wearing. So I don't, unless you can get, like you said, like off the back of Hillary Knight's jersey, like you're just going to have a replica, and it's that like kind of, great material, and nothing is embroidered on. It's all like just like laser printed or whatever. So, I mean,
attending a fan, like I don't know the promotions. I haven't looked at them because I'm not local to a PWHL city. But if there's like a player or a fan appreciation night, you know, jerseys off the players' backs, I'd be giddy for those. You know, like I said, 20 years when we're seeing professional women's hockey with a minimum of, you know, 15,000 fans in the building and a league that's now expanded to 20 teams.
Right.
You're going to want that jersey.
Yeah, you are. I agree with you. I will have to figure out how I get one of those. Social media fun video that I saw that gave me a really reaction was Josh Hosang, separate. Okay. He casually dropped a rap album. I tuned in because I was like, oh, all right, let's see what we got. And not that I'm like hip or cool anymore, because like my rap music is of what I grew up with is very different than what everybody listens to today.
Yes.
And it's actually pretty decent, like good vibes, good rhymes, good beats. A lot of songs, like 18 songs, a couple of them about hockey and chicks and whatever and ice and babes and all the things that you want to rap about. And I liked the songs. They were pretty good.
You know, it's funny. He just signed a contract with an ECHL team, the Florida Everblades. So he's trying to make a little bit of a comeback here. And as a special fun tidbit, back to my point, he was a first round pick by the Islanders, 28th overall.
There you go.
I heard some good stories that I won't talk about, but they didn't want much to do with him because he thought he was an NHLer surefire and never could produce at that level.
We've seen that from some other recent round picks. Who wasn't it Shane Wright who was like thought he was going to go first overall and he didn't, and now
you know I don't recall what his story was.
I'm pretty sure he was like cocky AF and was like projected number one, and somebody else went number one overall, someone European, and he's been in and out of the AHL ever since. So,
He's still pretty young, though, so we'll give him a little benefit of the doubt.
You can. I think attitude is so important. But anyway, check out his album. It looks like he's trying to make a go at a second career, which we are happy to support former pro players making a new career. The album was pretty decent. You can find it on like Apple or iTunes or wherever. Just type it in. All right. Who's your hunk of the week, Andy? Hunk or a lady?
No, it's so funny that you talked about this. And because on what day was it? I don't know which day it was. But after my games calling the ACHA, I stopped to get some to-go food. And on the TV was the NHL Network. And sure enough, Hank Lundqvist, shining bright. And I took a photo of it and I sent it to one of my friends. And I said, you know what? What a good-looking guy. Like, how can you not like Hank Lundqvist? So he's my hunk of the week. And he, like, always has good attire. I would, whatever his Italian shoes are, that would be my shopping pick. Because you know he's got some really good footwear.
You're doing like special orders to Italy. That's what you want. Forget Rodeo Drive.
Yep. So he's mine.
I think that's always an excellent choice. I'm actually surprised that you were actually put eyeballs on NHL Network though, given the
No, I can watch NHL Network. No, that was TNT though, wasn't it? Isn't he on TNT?
Oh yeah, he's on TNT.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But I'll watch NHL Network. Yeah, I just won't follow them on Instagram.
Okay. They're lucky to have you.
Okay.
Lucky to have you at least still watching.
Yeah.
My hunk of the week is Peter Mrazek from the Chicago Blackhawks, only because he was throwing fists during that game. And it was in Anaheim, right?
Yep. Yeah.
That Anaheim game was wild. And we almost had a goalie fight. And Mrazek gave no fucks. And I love to see it. I loved seeing him get in there. I mean, yeah, we're eliminated, but like entertainment value is through the roof here. We're still kicking ass on the ice and like not quitting in this season. And I just love it. I love to see it. So he's my hunk of the week.
All right. I'll take it. That's a good second place one, but Hank's always first place. Come on.
Listen, this isn't hunk of all time. This is just hunk of this week, Andy. Okay?
Well, I saw him and he struck my eyes. Okay.
Okay, so he caught your attention this week. It's
yes.
Fine. Some people would say he catches their eye every day. So yep. Here we are. Anything else you want to share before we wrap this up?
No, I think that kind of does it with our thoughts here. We certainly took out the runway again this week, didn't we?
We did, but I think we got through a lot. There was a lot happening at this time of the year, as you would say. There's a lot of news happening.
Yes.
So lots to cover. Well, thank you, Andy.
Thank you as well. It's a pleasure coming on again.
Thanks for coming over to our House of Hockey podcast and hanging out with us. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And in the meantime, you can follow us on social media. Just look for House of Hockey podcast. We'll be back next week.